Our devotion for tonight, in this series of messages, Balm for the Weary, is taken from Psalm 121, entitled, Whence Cometh Your Help? Just one thought for this psalm. The Christian's help is from the Lord, for He is Creator, verse 2b, Faithful Protector, verses 3 to 6, and Savior, verses 7 to 8. What do you do when you are in trouble? Whence cometh your help? We want to meditate on this theme so that Christians would know the source of true help and thereby find help in times of need. Some trust in chariots, the psalmist says, and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Basically, the psalmist is saying to us that put your faith, your trust in the Lord, and you would have no lack. There is no want to them who love the Lord. And as we study this series of messages on the Psalms, you would see how the psalmist is able to articulate life's struggles and how it speaks to the heart of God's people who struggle today. Are you struggling? Are there some matters in your mind, in your heart, that you find a need to resolve? And oftentimes in life, we come to our wits' end and do not know what to do anymore. And the psalmist declares to us and affirms with his heart and confesses with his mouth by penning this psalm that his help comes from his Lord. And the psalmist tells us how his Lord is a reliable helper. How does he remind us? Well, he reminds us by giving to us the credentials of the Lord. Right? That he's the one who made all things, and that he has the power to protect us, to sustain us, and that he is indeed the only Savior able to save us, physical and spiritual. Have you sent someone off in the airport? I believe we all have. And you know that we are quite helpless for the needs of the person who leave perhaps for long periods of time. Some may go for their studies. They may go for several years, some for work, some migrating to a foreign land. At times when we wave goodbye to them, there is that departure hall window. There's a separation. The traveler goes in and, you know, we can't go beyond. And oftentimes we feel the helplessness to meeting the needs, especially if they are our immediate, we are the immediate guardians of this. It could be your children, could be the people whom you care for and you love. But this psalm tells us that we have a God who is powerful and is always there to take care of us. This Psalm 121 is a blessed traveler's psalm to remind us in our temporal sojourn in this earth, it is God that sustains and keeps us by His power. And, you know, we cannot be with our loved ones, but our Lord can. And that is a truth that we have to remind ourselves. So, the thought that we want to consider is this, that the Christian's help is from the Lord. Right, verse 1 to 2a. I will lift up my eyes, verse 1 says, unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. This is an announcement. The first sentence of a psalm is usually the summary of the theme for that psalm. And here the psalmist is announcing to us the source of his help. When he's distressed and he's troubled, he will pray and he will look to God. He would lift up his eyes heavenward. The petitioner lifts his eyes to the hills, looking beyond the hills to his Lord, who is enthroned in heaven, protecting his people. And the Lord wants us to have that understanding in our hearts, in our minds, that he is in charge, that he is in control of all things, and that he is working out all things well for our lives. The mountain, the hill, is a symbol of stability, of security, right, of safety. Right? The mountain, you know, will always be there. Right? The towering mountain. A picture of refuge, a picture of stronghold, picture of a fortress. If you're on the high ground, you're able to see your enemies coming. So the psalmist is saying to us that he has his God who is in a superior position that he can look to, or he can look up to, for help. And coming to worship each Lord's Day, and attending midweek prayer meeting, week after week, is an affirmation in the heart of the seeker that we need God, and we are dependent on him to live this earthly life. That is why, you see, for the people of God, you may not spend too much time talking to the people around you, but of the problems that you may have, but rather as you articulate it to God, you'll find that you receive help, you receive comfort, you receive strength. So the lifting up of the eyes is a gesture of worship. Right, as the pilgrims approach God. And the Song of Degrees is a collection of 15 psalms of ascent, we said, a song of degrees. And these psalms are sung on the pilgrim journeys to Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is 2,000 feet above, up, and it is an upward ascent as they go. And as they think and consider to go to the house of God, as they make their way there, they are acknowledging the efficacy of their God. And the lifting up of the eyes is a prayer posture of a trusting heart. If you trust God, then you find that, you know, if you have problems that is besetting you, solution and help, it's just a prayer away. The lifting up of the eyes, what comfort it brings to the heart of God's people, that we are able to look to the Lord and find solution to life's troubles. So the struggles in life may still weigh in our heart whenever we contemplate and think of our problems, but we know, right? From whence cometh our help? The psalmist is saying to us that my help cometh from my Lord. Is this your conviction? So, the Lord wants us to carry such a prayer posture in our lives, right? To lift up our eyes to the Lord, lift our problems to the Lord, let him carry it, right? To give your troubles to the Lord and to allow him to carry it, it means that you would have lightened your burden, right? Yeah. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So the lifting up of the eyes is the light yoke of the Christian. Every trouble that we have, we can bring it to the Lord. The psalmist says, "I'm poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer, O Lord. Make no tarrying." Psalm 70, verse 5. And it's interesting that the psalmist says, uses the word Lord. "I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord." You see, the capital L-O-R-D, the word there, Jehovah, describes the personal relationship that the psalmist has with his God. There is a personal communion that has been built with his God, that he has that lifeline to the Lord, that he knows is vibrant. Okay? It's a cultivated relationship that he had. How is your relationship with your Heavenly Father? Do you call upon him and speak to him often? Or do you go to him only as an SOS hotline? You know what's an SOS hotline? Right? You call only when, you know, it is... yeah, it's the last resort. No, that shouldn't be. Wherever, when we live our lives, you know, we don't make decisions based on our own wisdom. But we need to spend time in prayer with the Lord, to seek the Lord's wisdom, to seek the Lord's guidance. So safety and confidence for the psalmist is in the living yet invisible God. So this is what he wants to convey to us. And the Lord wants us to know, wants us to understand, right, that we have a most reliable helper. And the nation of Israel, in its formation, faced many trials. They had in their border the Philistines would come periodically to plunder, to harass, to raid their land, and oftentimes bringing countless sufferings and miseries. At that time, Samuel was their leader, and Israel was a theocracy. God rules, not a monarchy, right, before they had a king. The invisible God was their king, their great commander who leads them through every trouble. And there was a scene where the enemies came and the Philistines were there, ready, gathered to fight Israel. And the people of Israel were afraid. And they didn't know what to do. And they came to Samuel that he may invoke God's help to save them. And at that time, Samuel took a lamb and offered it for burnt offering to the Lord. And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him, the Bible recorded. And the Bible told us how the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited or humiliated them. They were smitten before Israel in that battle. And the Israelites courageously pursued after the Philistines and smote them and defeated them. God sent a great thunder to frighten the enemy. And Samuel, after the Philistines were defeated, took a stone and he set it before Israel as a memorial. He called it Ebenezer, the stone of help. Hitherto has the Lord helped us. Meaning, thus far, until this time, has the Lord helped us. Or the Lord will help us yet again. Do you have that kind of confidence as you begin life each day as a child of God? That your God is with you and able to help you. Right? So when you talk about help, what do you mean? I was looking up the thesaurus. It means assistance. It means aid. It means support. It means relief. It means comfort. It means benefit. It means advantage. It means a good thing. It means to assist and to deliver from suffering. Assistance to relieve from difficulty. The grace to sustain us through suffering and difficulty. So the psalmist begins by lifting his eyes to the hills as he contemplates the danger of life. And he says that my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So here he's saying that my God is the maker of all things. He's the one who made us. And therefore, he has that power to help us. And it's very interesting, the phrase there, my help cometh from the Lord. The word cometh there is added in the italics by the King James translator. The emphasis is upon the preposition from. And it's interesting, when you look at that word from, it consists of two prepositions in the original. From and with or beside. So that's why the King James translator added the word cometh, to supply, to show us the source of our help. Right? His help cometh from the Lord who is with him or who is beside him. You see, oftentimes we think that help is so far away. You know, we feel so lonely. But the Lord is saying to us that our help, our helper is with us. Right? When you repent of your sins and come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit come and indwell you. And the Holy Spirit has that, is God himself indwelling you, with you, beside you, you know, to comfort you, to strengthen you, to help you through the pathways of life. And we need to be reminded that you are not alone in your journey of life. And he's telling us that his God is indeed very able to help, because he is the maker of heaven and earth. And you remember in Jeremiah 18, Jeremiah went to the potter's house, and there he was caused to hear the God's words. He saw the potter making a work on the potter's wheel, and the vessel he made was marred in the hand of the potter. And so he made another vessel that seemed good to the potter. And the Lord said, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in mine hands, O house of Israel. Indeed, God is the potter, and we are the clay. And he is able to make all things well in his sight. If you are his children, then you can be assured of his presence with you. You will not be plagued by servile or certain fear, right, that comes to you, that the Lord allow, right, perhaps through the evil one, right, to discomfort your heart. But you said, no, no, I will not be overcome, because my God who has bought me will never forsake me. And therefore I have the confidence that I will, through the mercy and the help of God, to overcome through life. And so here you see our good God helping us. And there was one time I was trying to take something, and a glass vessel fell, and it fell on the floor, and the entire glass was broken and all over, and I had to take a vacuum cleaner to try to suck up the broken glasses everywhere. And I told myself, wow, very, very tough, you know, got cut. How to put back a broken glass? Impossible, right? Yeah. But not with our God. Our God is able, He is the maker, and He is also able to remake. And that is the comfort that we have. No matter how broken life is, no matter how heavy the trial, no matter how difficult the circumstances, our Lord has the power to be able to help us to overcome. And so the psalmist is comforted, right, to know that he is a God who is able to help him, because he is the maker. He is able to make right our lives again, if only we will come back to Him and trust Him. And so you notice in verse 1 to 2, we see the psalmist writes in the first person. But in verses 3 to 8, the psalmist will use the second person. You will notice the die and the D repeated throughout verses 3 to 8. In verse 1 to 2, he says, I believe. He says he is affirming his own experience. But from verses 3 to 8, he's recommending this God to all of us. Right? He says that he's able to help us. Right? Verse 3 to 6, he's a faithful protector. Verse 3 to 4 says, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Behold, Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Here is conveyed to us two different constructions to convey the same thought, that God has that ability to keep His people. He is our faithful protector, ever watching out for our well-being. And it's interesting that in verse 3, you see the negative particle there, not. He will not let your foot to be moved. Right? The emphasis here, right, is not objectively based on a fact, but subjectively, as a wish. What the psalmist is saying here is that he is expressing very strong emotions to affirm that his God will not give him over to the whims and fancies of the enemy. So he says, as you read verse 3, you need to understand it in its context. There is an emotional swelling up. He will not let your foot be moved. So, you know, it's a very strong word that he's using. He says it with great welling emotion that this God is truly able. It's a prayer of faith that steals the heart. It's a statement of determined faith. He will not suffer. He will not allow you. He will not cause you to be shaking or tottering. That's what it means for your foot to be moved. Right? You will not give way, give up. You will not be unstable. Right? He will cause you to take good steps of safety. So verse 3 tells us that the Lord is our able protector. So this verse 3 is written with great urgency that conveys great conviction of the heart. God will not allow himself to slumber so that he is unable to keep us. That's what he's saying. All right, verse 3. Yeah? He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. God is, you know, and here, when you said that he that, verse 4, when it says, he that keepeth thee will neither slumber nor sleep. This not here is a different, has a different emphasis. Right? The emphasis is not subjectively, but objectively, as a fact. Right? He's telling us, all right, that your God will not sleep. It's a fact. Okay? His care for you will not be broken. You may need rest when you are at your wit's end, you're tired, you're weary. You know, our series, this series of message, Balm for the Weary. Right? Basically, we want to convey to us that we have a God that is able to help us. So he says, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So verse 4, he tells us, behold, look here, understand, for a truth, for a fact. So this word there is a legislative word, a word of conveying of a truth, a fact, all right, that our God will, you know, not be drowsy, not be slumbering. Right? It is an impossibility, and for him to sleep, and he puts it in the strongest way, all right, to convey the impossibility that God will sleep on his job, meaning that you are in good hands. In other words, your God will care for you. He shall not be drowsy, or he shall not slumber, and he shall not go to sleep that keepeth or watches Israel. Our God doesn't need periodic relief from his watchful care for us. So recently I was visiting a newborn, a family with a newborn, and of course, for the daughter, having had a cesarean section, needed rest. A baby is some 1 week old only. So grandfather and grandmother, first time, first grandchild, how to take care? So they were all looking at the young one there. When the baby cries, what to do? You know, in the night, when you have not enough sleep, you have to take turns, and how do you pull through? Here is described for us a picture of God's care for us that, you know, we think we can't. So we said that the baby is a gift from God. When God gives, he will also give the grace to enable us to take care. And so here, the idea is that God's care for us will not suffer lapses. we can be exhausted, but our God is not like us. His steadfastness in caring for us does not suffer lapses. And this is a wonderful promise from the scripture. And we need to take hold of these promises, because this is truly who our God is. Then there is that stability in our heart. Then there is that strength in our heart to live life. When Elijah had to challenge the 450 Baal prophets at Mount Carmel, Elijah came to the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him." You know that your God is the Lord, the maker, the protector, then follow him wholeheartedly. Why waver? And Elijah, in the midst of the great challenge, was able to face down the Baal prophets, right? They all cry, they cut themselves from morning to noon, and nothing happens. Right? But one prayer of Elijah sent fire from heaven to consume the entire offering. Indeed, we have a God that is truly powerful. He answers prayer. We can call to him, and we can trust him to take care of our every need. Verse 5 to 6. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. So our God is not only always awake, right, but he is our keeper. Meaning that he's the one, he is always watching over us to help us. And how does he do so? Well, he is thy shade upon thy right hand, so that the sun will not smite thee by day and the moon by night. It's a picture of our God's ever-present protection. Day and night he is there. When Israel was in the wilderness, what did God do? God sent a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Right? Visible emblems of his power and his care. And this is what the Lord wants you to know. So that you live life, with great stability, with great strength, knowing that you are, very safe in the sight of God. So, by faith, the psalmist says, we put ourselves under his protection and commit ourselves under his care. What a comforting thought this truth gives to us. And the Lord also tells us the third thought, right, that he is not only maker, he's not only faithful protector, but verses 7 to 8, he is savior. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. God, our God, is not only able to protect you physically, but he is able to protect you spiritually. He's able to protect your inner man. Oftentimes, before the body goes, the mind goes first. Right? We lose hope. We lose our sense of bearing before we lose, our physical well-being. So the psalmist is saying to us, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. God's protection for you is complete, all the way. It's all encompassing. It's thorough. He preserved thy soul. For how long? Forevermore. And this is a picture of the character of God's salvation. And he speaks of the permanence of it. Right? That when God saved us, when we put our trust in the Lord, when we receive Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, He protects us and he seals us. No matter how clever the devil is, how he would seek to discomfort you by whatever devices he may have, you can be sure that it will be thwarted. The Lord will see you through, and the Lord will protect you, and you will be shielded from sudden fear. And that is great comfort, great assurance that God has for us. Jude says in verse 24 and 25, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." He says, we have a God who is that able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. You see, Jesus died for our sins and washed us every whit clean, so that we, by the merits of Christ, receive this righteousness. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So when we obey him, acknowledging him, coming to him, he will not fail us. Only Jesus Christ is able, has the power to preserve us forever. For he is God. And we must sincerely acknowledge him as our Lord. In our going out, in our coming in, if you think truthfully, so many things can go wrong. Right? In a day's event, even when you walk, you know, you can trip and you can kick something and you can get hurt. Right? And you can, you know, the most simple, we said freak, accident. No, all things are in the hand of God. God is able to help us. Right? And if you know, you have such a wonderful Savior who is able to protect you all the way till you are transported to heaven, what should our response be? Our response must be praise and worship and a resolve to follow our Lord. Whence cometh your help? My help cometh from the Lord. For he is creator, he is faithful protector, and he is Savior. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us to trust in thee and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah indeed is our strength, our song, our salvation. May the truth of thy word strengthen the hearts of thy people this day, as we pray this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.